The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Tony Wilson.
How's this, Ed? We've got someone who actually knows about football on the show today.
Unbelievably. He's brought a menu of football even.
Yes, the Brownlow Medal Dinner is what this menu's called, because I went to the Brownlow last night.
This is going to be the most football that's ever been mentioned on this show.
I'm so happy.
Long football-free months.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. Today, also, we're revolutionising the future of telecommunications. Were you aware of that, Ed?
Good. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
And also, I understand you've got our best ever Talkback Mountain topic.
I can't say too much, but it's outdoorsy, it's sport related, and there may or may not be little mechanical animals involved.
Wow. Don't leave, Tony. It's come back. It's going to be a good show.
Hungry Hippos coming up.
That's traction. That's what that is.
Cutting through.
On Get This.
We shouldn't imagine that something like this couldn't happen in Australia.
The modern sounds of Men at Work here at Get
There's
This.
There's a lot of synth at the end of that bad boy, isn't there?
That's the way we like it.
A lot of synth.
Welcome to Get This around the nation now. Hello. Including Newcastle. I'd be Tony Martin, that'd be Ed Cavill.
Hello.
Richard Marsden likes to push a button or two.
How you doing, Tony?
Silly for it.
Push one now if you could. It's Tony Wilson.
Hello, Tony. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Ed.
Hello.
Author Tony Wilson. Wrote that book, Players. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Also on the radio, on the, do we call it the community band?
Triple R, yes. It is where many people around this place might have got their start. Certainly where I do my 6 till 9 shift every morning with the breakfasters.
Yeah. We're not allowed to mention that, but
okay.
That'll be cut out in Newcastle.
That's cool.
So that'll be why my arm's disappearing slowly up my back. I see now.
Throwing me. Now, I remember you, the first time I ever saw you, sir, was on Race Around the World.
Yes, 1998.
Yeah.
Second series. Killed that show, actually. Didn't get a third series. Yeah.
Oh, no. You were great on that.
Oh, thank you,
Ed.
I
remember that.
Yeah. I went to, in 100 days, we had to make a 4-minute story in each country. We went to 10 countries in 100 days.
Wow.
Bolivia, Idaho, Alaska, Italy, Lebanon, France, Israel, Kenya, India and China.
Wow. And can I ask, at that stage, the second series, were you still being judged by that twat, David Caesar?
David Caesar.
Yeah, he was there.
Was that about? Why did they need a Bernard King-style judge on an ABC show with young people?
Well, it's certainly taken off. I think there's nasty people are now Dave Rigueur on television.
Oh, maybe that was him that started that. We did on Mark Malloy, we tried to get everybody who'd been on Race Around the World to come down and judge a screening of Idiot Box.
Not a bad idea.
But, you know, when we said what the film was, nobody wanted to get on a plane.
Critics should never make one, should they?
No.
I guess he should never have done criticism because he was making films beforehand.
No, they all fall into their trap.
That show uncovered some sweet people. Yeah. Yourself, John Safran, and Olivia Rousset, who works for...
She's at Dateline now.
Dateline, yeah.
Kim Trail worked at Dateline.
Show.
Have any of them gone bad? You know, sort of different stroke style? Held up a 7-Eleven?
I'm not sure.
On the gear?
There's about six that are missing in action. I can't...
Really?
Assumed on the gear.
We should have a 10-year or a 10-year reunion. It's a while
idea.
On now.
That's
yeah.
A good idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah. No, but look, okay, Race Around the World on another network, which we won't mention.
Right.
Of course, the book Players, I love that. And weren't you at the Brownlow Medal last night?
I was. I mean, I brought in the menu. There aren't many highlights, so I'm going to take you through culinary-wise, but there...
Wasn't it delicious?
Oh, it was fine.
It was one of those ones where...
What was the food for you at the Brownlow?
What was the food, Tony?
It was chicken. I remember that. Yeah. And there was onion, and there was pesto.
Did they do that annoying thing where they go, they just put one, like, yours is chicken, and then the person to the left of you gets a different one, and then the next person gets chicken, and then they do that?
They didn't do that, but you know, the other day I had that happen at a function, and a kid, the guy on my right, had a hissy fit when no one would swap him steak,
an
11-year-old. He just said, "Could I have some steak?" And everyone sort of looked into their steaks and said, "We don't really want to give up our steak." And then he's gone, "Look, seriously, fish, I do not want the fish. I've had fish for lunch.
Yep.
I really do not want the fish. Would someone please take the fish?" And in the end, I said, "Oh, well, I guess you can have the fish. You can have the steak if this will shut you up and we don't have to go through another minute of this."
Wow, I love it when kids throw a hissy fit because of that. I saw one of these at my local video shop where, you know, at like the Video Easy where they have the car parks named after celebrities.
Really?
You know those? Have you seen that?
No.
you go, I'm parking in Patrick Swayze. And then my standard joke is to wait till you see some people going in and then run up out of breath and go, oh, sorry, I'm way down in Emilio Estevez. So it never gets a laugh at the video shop, but I persist with it.
Emilio Estevez. I like how you wait by your car. Nah, they won't get it. They won't get it. Bingo! That's my demographic.
But they name the spaces after celebrities.
Every different space.
Yeah, and they're real 90s celebrities. Well, they're all like Bruce Willis and Demi Moore. They've got to have a meeting of Video Easy and update. Do we go with Ashton Kutcher? Will he be round long enough?
I'm not going to get rid of Corey Feldman for Ashton Kutcher, all right?
But this is what I've seen. I'm waiting outside the video shop, and I see a car, and there's no one parked there. It's completely empty. And a car, station wagon full of kiddies, comes in and parks in Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
And then I just hear from inside the car, and then the car backs out and goes in Arnold Schwarzenegger. How's that? I love it when kids crack it. And I love the way it was meant to be a football show and we're back onto movies. We can do that.
This was an adult that cracked it. I might not have made that clear. Oh, it was a 35-year-old.
I just assume they're all children at the Brownlow. So what have you got? You've got Blancs wedged into suits and high-maintenance tail.
Yes.
food. We'd never considered that there was food.
There was plenty of pancake on the tail too. You know, that makeup where... if you went down with the fingernails, you'd have to go in with the nail brush. That sort of makeup.
Why, Grooves?
Ground Casino, high pancake tail.
And do you know when they served up their cheese and bickies end of night, they didn't provide enough biscuits, that old mistake.
Right, and so did someone get punched out?
At the end of the night, I was there just with blue cheese, carving off a slice and with the fingers dropping the blue cheese in the mouth.
Fantastic.
Which is the cracker mistake is a basic one that I wouldn't think they'd make at such a function as this.
Was it really boring? Like, because it's not even a game of football.
I know, because you see all the glamour at the beginning. You see the Blancs and the tail going in. And then...
Blanc and Tails, Night of Nights.
It's just a list.
You guys...
People reading stuff out.
Yeah.
You have to understand how... If you followed the season, it's the most beautiful night of the year.
Right.
Because it provides a summary of the year. It does it in a metronomic fashion. And if it's read well, it can be very peaceful. Like, it's effectively meditation for an AFL fan.
Wow.
So someone like, and Ross Oakley was the best I've ever heard. He really got his timing right. He'd say, three votes, North Melbourne, W. Schwoss.
Oh.
And that's good rhythm.
It's quite relaxing when you hear it.
But unfortunately, Demetriou, he got the hurry up, I'm sure, early on. And we were getting one vote Hawthorne, S. Mitchell, two votes Hawthorne, L. Hodge. And it was for us who go along to meditate, and I really debated whether I could do it outside my own lounge room. To accept the invite was to risk getting rid of one of my beautiful nights of the year. And so... but even in the, but just sitting there, he ended up getting it right in the last six rounds. He slowed right down, and but he's no Oakley. Oakley he was like the Maharishi.
Are they absolutely? Is everyone really really smashed by the end of it? Like is this place just completely drunk and kind of getting loud and kind of telling the shush so you can read the votes?
Well, I noticed that Travis Johnston of you like to name names just straight off. Yeah. But we were mainly going from the big screens like the people at home. And for each vote he got, he seemed to lean left or right with tongue out to either president on his right or fellow player on his left. I was tipping he'd maybe given it a bit of a post-season pasting. And when I went into the toilets, Barry Round, 1981 winner, someone said, "How you going, Barry?" And Barry said, "Better in a minute."
What else happened in those toilets, Tony? They must just give us some kind of bombshell.
Something
that can get us onto the front of tomorrow's paper.
Well, I did. I almost invested in a photo phone, and then I was going to make the decision, do you bribe, do you blackmail, or do you sell to the media? What makes you more money if you can get good stuff in the toilets?
Because blackmail's continuous, right? Like the media's a one-off payment.
Blackmail is for life.
Sensible solutions and actual talk about football.
Yeah.
There was some name you said, Oakley. And you love how when you said it to me, I just nodded away like I knew what you were. And then I looked over to Ed thinking, I hope Ed knows who that is.
Clueless on that one.
Oh, but get us back onto Emilio Estevez and we're fine.
I mean, at work talk, we're laughing.
But look, Tony has not one but two new books coming out. If they're as good as his last one, we want to hear about them. That'll be next on Get This. That's those Chili Peppers here. Get this on Triple M. Good morning, Adelaide. No, good afternoon, Adelaide. No, good evening, Adelaide.
Whichever.
It's good morning, Melbourne, Sydney, morning, Brisbane. Melbourne. And it's good night, London.
Good night, London.
And it's good afternoon, Newcastle. This show is getting so hard to do.
And good mid-morning, Osaka, is it?
Osaka, we're a breakfast show, that's what I'm told. Yeah. Tony Wilson is with us.
Tony Martin, you're actually reminding me of a great sport caller the other day. You know when they open up the lines and fans can call in? I was listening after the Melbourne victory game in the A-League to a Melbourne radio station the other day, and the caller rang in and said, I tell you what, you know, the A-League, it's going that well, the victory are going that well, the A-League's going, and yet they're not playing the games live. Why don't they put they should have it live on television, they should have it live on radio. And the announcer said, well, it was live. It was live on our station, and it was also live on television on the Fox network as well. And he went, oh, right. But it was sunny outside. It was sunny outside while the game was being. It was dark here. And he went, oh, well, that's because the game was in Perth, Barry.
That's more confusing than this show.
You would have thought time zones would, most people by the age in their mid-30s tend to get across them, but
Barry,
look, I was struggling.
That day?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? So sometimes when it's dark here, it's not dark everywhere else.
Exactly.
Jeez, I've got to go. There must be global warming or something. Yeah, I reckon someone should call about that.
Look, Tony, we've got to get back to football, and we've got to get back to the Brownlows and your books, but I'm just looking. I've never said that before. We've got to get some serious news on here. I was, look, you know how Carl Stefanovic is a robot.
Massively.
We proved that on this show.
Easily.
Listen to this for a headline on CNN this morning. Lou Diamond Phillips charged with battery. Is he a robot as well?
Another robot.
I always suspected
Lou
there was
Diamond
something.
Phillips, animatronics, who to thunk it?
Yeah. And what
else? He was good in La Bamba.
I was Buddy Holly in La Bamba, according to the Wikipedia.
Well, I almost got the role of Buddy Holly in this American TV series, but I was too tall. Too tall to play Buddy Holly.
What TV series?
The Nightmares and Dreamscapes, the Stephen King one.
Why was Buddy Holly in that?
Oh, because there's like this one where they go back to the 50s, and it got down to me and this other guy, and I was totally kick-ass, but I was too tall.
Yeah.
They said, how tall are you? I said, 5'11". They said, you're 6'5". I said, I might be. And that was it.
We learned so much about it. You know, you just mentioned this on the show the other day, and I didn't even hear it until someone asked me about it afterwards. You're on the Pizza Hut pizza boxes in Japan?
Yeah, I was for a while. I was dressed as Chandler from Friends on the Pizza Hut boxes in Japan for a little while.
Is he your looky likey?
He's one of them. Yeah. Why? Because I was in an ad. I was in a Japanese Domino's ad where I had to kiss Joey, and it was, like, all crazy. And then I was on the box, like, my grinning face, like, come on, eat some pizza.
Have you got the looky-likey seesaw going where there's the top end that people sometimes say, and then there's the bottom end?
I know on your show on Community Radio, you do a fair bit of this, so we're still paddling around down the shallow end.
Yeah.
Who do you get?
I get top end. My partner's stepmother once said that I look like Paul Newman.
Hey, nice. Top end. I can see that.
That's not bad, actually.
And that's end? Especially profile, apparently. And bottom end, I get Simon Beasley, the bookmaker who was full forward for Footscray. He's
right.
He's got,
I don't think many people. If Simon Beasley was at the Brownlow last night, of the tarted up pancake wearing. Taffeta-wearing people, they wouldn't have been seeking out Beasley as their number one seed.
I don't know who Simon Beasley is, but that to me is enough of an excuse.
That'll do nicely.
To play our Kim Beasley theme. Here he comes. Waddling up to the podium. He loves it. For many people, their phone has just rung.
That was great.
That is now a ringtone, I'm told.
Kim Beasley looks like some of the characters from Dark Crystal. That old kids movie, the Jim Henson puppet one.
I love that. But hang on, what about, so top end, bottom end? The trouble is, with your theory, Tony, is all we get is cartoon characters.
Pretty much.
Top end on Wally, bottom end on the Computer for Dummies logo. Ed Cavalier, he's just some kind of generic cartoon character, according to the woman who cuts his hair.
Exactly right. Or, in human terms, I get, I don't have a top end. I've got sort of mid-range, like, losers, really. Mm. It's just sort of Chris Klein, the G Money Genie, Rob Mills. Like, this is not... This is not an illustrious Stuart Diver. This is not an illustrious bunch.
That's no pantheon.
That's not good, he says.
I think Ed has all the features in the right spot in his face, yeah, and so it's hard to put you into a particularly distinctive camp.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sort of blonde and balding and used to have glasses, and it makes right, it's easier to work with for, the, for your parodius.
Here's what we get, because Ed's on Thank God You're Here, and I was on it once. And I'm going through the metal detector at the airport a couple of weeks ago. And the guy who's doing the with the thing, this old bloke, just sees me. And it's really crowded.
Yeah.
And he goes as loud as he can, "Thank God you're here,
hey?"
And then looks around like it's going to bring the house down. And no one knew who I was. And it was just this sad, embarrassing clanger.
Oh, yes. I get that a bit. People are saying, "Thank God you're here," to me sometimes. I don't know what to do. They go, "Thank God you're here." And I'm like, ha. Yeah.
But you see, normally you there's a scenario.
Yeah, and it's only me that says it, you know? So anyway.
Is this a bit where we were doing serious news?
Oh, yeah. What happened?
What did you see? Something that Peter Costello said?
Yes, I saw that Peter Costello apparently went on an F-111 yesterday.
Right.
And his excuse was, look, I pay for the things. I want to try them out.
So he didn't have any official reason to be on there?
Well, no. I think it was all about the lightening up of his image and becoming more a man of the people. But he came out and just said, oh, look, because I pay for them, I want to have a spin in one. And obviously, you don't pay for them, Peter. You use taxpayers' money on the F-111.
Yeah.
And that really, I think, qualifies every one of us to put our hands up to get on the F-111.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. And so if you want to ride in something that you've paid for, which is one of our Air Force jets, just write into Peter Costello and say you're using his reasoning to get yourself a spin in some fairly high-quality wings.
I just show up, yeah, to be honest. Don't bother writing a letter.
I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah, I'm a taxpayer.
Here's a go. Let me go at the cockpit.
Show.
And if you've paid a lot of tax, you should be allowed to blow shit up. Don't you reckon?
They have a new bunch of thresholds. Like, they got all the brackets. Like, if you earn X amount of dollars per year, you pay X amount of tax, you can take out a library. If you're in the highest tax bracket, you can take out small cities, villages, you know?
Yeah.
That's great.
You've warned people first. You'd let them evacuate.
Well, see, they...
Maybe not.
See.
It's a complicated system, the taxation system.
I've never been across it.
My ob software would be needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But Peter Costello, he's not a fan of us. Here's what he says about this show.
Psycho babble followed by exaggerated laughter.
Yep, that's pretty much it. I think that's the new billboard slogan.
Nail on the head there, Pete.
How long have we gone, Nicky? Is it way
does
over?
Does that mean I can be treasurer for a bit? Can I just show up at federal parliament and just take the reins of the country's purse for a bit?
Oh, I think if Peter gets to have a crack at your chair, I'm sure he'd hold up his end pretty well.
For a day. I'm not sure what he'd do on this show, Tone, but I know what I'd do as treasurer.
Evil dovetails.
Jeez, we'd be rolling out the table tennis tables. One for every home.
Yeah. And the secret sound, what would that be?
What, if Costello was here?
Just a vague sucking.
Just smug. Smug laugh.
Look, we haven't really mentioned Tony's books. Players, that's still in print, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's a funny novel. There aren't many of those.
Mm.
Try and count off your hands funny novels. Get on to, like, the second hand, almost impossible.
Okay. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Confederacy of Dunces.
Right. Yep.
Lucky Jim, that's quite funny.
Lucky Jim is
Catch
funny.
22.
Catch 22 is good.
Catch 22 is funny. The Nick Hornby one.
About a boy and Fever Pitch.
Yes.
The record shop one.
Yeah, the record shop
one. He died with a falafel. Did that count? Is that a novel? He died with a falafel in his hand?
Well, that's sort of non-memoir-y.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jeez, guys, come on.
I'm reading one at the moment called King Dork by Frank Portman. That is a hilarious novel. Not out here. I just got it on the Amazon.
Really?
That's really funny.
And Players. Well, Jan Tone's one, Players.
Players. That's very good. And it's not technically about football as such, because that's why I didn't read it for so long. And it's more about the footy show wars. It's hilarious.
It's about basically about a sham that's put on by a 50-something playboy ex-footballer who headbutts a homeless guy during his his street-talking segment. And then in order to cover up his crime, he wants to become more popular with the people and does it by faking cancer.
It's a lot funnier than that sounded. it. Yeah. But it's got so much detail in it. Like, just in the first few pages when he's out, because me and Mick Molloy used to do street interviews, and I love how the bloke who's doing them is so successful that he just goes like a block from the van and just goes, that'll do.
He's no longer working on the backgrounds. When you first get your... I did some Vox Pops as well. And when you first get Vox Pops, you're really concentrating. You get a fresh background here. We'll move. Let's spin 70 degrees so you get a fresh background. You concentrate on it. But if you're a huge star, it's just brick wall. Who gives a shit, you know?
No, and that's what makes this novel good. Lots of little detail good, believable stuff like that. Good. But forget that. That's old. What is The Thirsty Flowers? What the hell is going on here?
I'm like a Demtel ad as you roll out products. But The Thirsty Flowers is a children's book about thirsty flowers. They hear a watering system next door and uproot themselves, teach themselves how to walk, and swing over next door where they're getting watered, because Mad Jack McCann is not watering the flowers.
Don't give it all away.
Wait a second. Can they speak?
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, they can. It's all done with the miracle of type on page.
Sure is. And glitter. Look at that.
It looks beautiful. Now,
he's had to have a special piece of paper put in the book to protect the glitter. That's fancy.
Jeez, that's fancy.
Yeah. Would you like the first verse of it, Tony?
Oh, well, do you need music for that?
Oh, maybe.
Give us the first verse for the younger listeners.
Okay.
The Thirsty Flowers
by and Tony Wilson.
If you don't come up with something...
You up Charlene, Rich, or are you singing it?
You're going to be singing.
One, two, Rich.
At the back of the yard, at the back of the yard, not yours and not ours, lived a bed full of raggedy, half-dying flowers, for it had now been more than 3 months and a quarter since Mad Jack McCann had bothered to water.
One more.
With hair in his nose and not much of a chin, why do you reckon he watered back then? Well, it wasn't to keep his garden alive, but to hose off dead leaves from his concreted drive.
Oh, beautiful stuff. Although I must say, the effect was slightly diffused by the fact we were playing our sexy Charlize Theron theme underneath. That's not appropriate for the kids. We're normally talking pornography when that's playing. Sorry about that, Tony.
Oh, Mad Jack McCann, I think, would be a tiger between the sheets.
There we go. Cool. Go for the next book.
There's another book.
Oh, yeah.
He's got another book.
I went to the World Cup in June.
Yeah, that's all the sizzle we've got time for.
You've got a correspondent by the name of Santo Chilaro, who I spent some time with.
Who?
Oh,
you mean Snato Guerra.
Sorry, yeah.
We go by his most famous misspelling. Okay, you know, you're right. World Cup, that was pretty well covered on this show.
So yeah. Australia what? United is a fan's eye view of the World Cup. In June, I went to all the Aussie games. Yep. May or may not have got to the final. That's the last chapter.
Well, there's a lot to get through at the bookshops.
There's a movie parody in there, Run, Tony, Run, because it's in Germany. You've seen Run, Lola, Run?
Yes, I have. The same film three times.
Yes.
Good idea.
Fantastic.
Okay, so you've got to get down to the expanding Wilson section of the bookstore. But hey, is there still time to revolutionise telecommunications in the 21st century? We'll be doing that next.
Get this.
And it smells of sulphur still today.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
It's Get This around the nation. On Triple M, or if you're in Newcastle, KOFM.
I love how you do that. Yeah, let's get this.
You know why? Because sometimes the ad breaks don't finish exactly at the same time in every state.
Oh, is that right?
Like, sometimes you'll hear some shows have...
Aren't you the tech man's best friend?
Oh, it's Nerdsville. Welcome
to
Nerdsville.
Is that why you do it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because you've got to come in soft. Because otherwise it just might be... The nation is to get this.
Oh.
See if the ad breaks don't finish in sync. Generally, this discussion, though, should happen off-air.
Yeah, you're the Van Gogh of back announcing.
It is Nerdsville.
I had no idea. I'm impressed, man.
Tony, are there any other books of yours we haven't got to? What is this World Cup one?
That Australia United, out in November, all football fans.
It was just on. How did you get it written so quickly?
70,000 words in 7 weeks.
Wow.
Didn't go outside.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What sort of...
Look at that skin. It's kind of... I was the only one at the Brownlow where the skin was just kind of glistening in this pale, ugly fashion.
Yeah.
And people would say, geez, you're not looking the best, huh? 70,000 words in 7 weeks.
Just move away from the bullfeds and suits and the high-maintenance tail. That's what it is. HMT.
HMT.
This is the part of the show, and, you know, look and learn and take these lessons back to the community radio with you, Tony. You're about to be blown away by Ed Cavalier's ability to perform live music.
Stripping it back today, Tone. Stripping it back to the little acoustic. It's unplugged today.
Wow.
Unplugged. I'm sending this one out to that very special someone. You know who you are. 234.
How do you play all those instruments at once?
Dexterous, bro.
How do you make it sound like a record? Ah, that's Hunters and Collectors here at Get This Around the Nation. We've got Tony Wilson with us today. What were you saying about that song? Something to do with football?
Oh, yes, World Cup. That is one of the anthems, and it was good of you to import the 15 blokes who put each other under their arms and sang along with the track in the studio. So thanks, you can mate. All head off now. Thank you.
Very fellas. Nice.
Well done, Ed.
Yeah, thanks. What else is it? Here's the most disturbing new trend in Australia this year. Mm-hmm. People driving their cars through your lounge room. It's just rife, isn't
rife.
It?
It's rife.
It's the. Oh, no, the most disturbing trend is fat people being secretly shot from the neck down for the news to be in a story about diabetics.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is should be illegal, I think. Because you could recognise your own ass wobbling up the street. We want to...
And they're always wearing kind of shorts, like football-styled shorts, but massive sizes.
Yeah.
And kind of loose, and potentially loose-fitting kind of, you know, those collared shirts. But they're kind of stuck to their body with the rolls hanging out.
Mm.
And they're always, that's the standard uniform. Now, I think if you're going to be, you know, really big and chunky... Just go a moomoo, like or a satiny caftan lounger.
So, like the diabetic story, it'd just be a parade of colourful moomoos.
That's what I mean.
Now we're thinking.
Nautical, you know, caftans.
Now we're thinking.
It's 6:30.
With gas. Driving cars through the lounge room, what is that about?
But what do people say? They're all drunk.
They're all drunk. Like drunk. Tony Wilson is this morning, by the way.
It's only funny till someone loses the kitchen, as the old saying goes. But basically... I think the problem with lounge rooms is I don't know, Tone. I really don't.
It's just if you're walking from the kitchen to the lounge room, always remember, look left, look right, and look left again.
Thank you, Hector the Road Safety Cat.
Here's what's not going to come through your front lounge room wall. The Mercedes-Benz Vito. The van of the year with so many safety features. There's a computer that literally stops it from hitting your couch. It ain't going to happen when you're behind the wheel of the Vito. Haven't we got a lot of good ideas on this show, Ed?
So many
good ideas.
So many.
And
none
always
being implemented.
Thinking ahead.
Absolutely.
To the future. The future is here again at Get This. The future of telecommunications. Phone 1-800-CAVALY. And have the man Gay Times voted the 9th sexiest straight man on radio.
That's actually true.
Read your future using time-honoured extrasensory techniques handed down by Amanda DeWarren, pet psychic for Take 5 magazine. In just 60 seconds, Ed will either predict your future, eat a sandwich, direct you to a website featuring cute photos of cats that look like Hitler, or if you're single and of either gender, insist that
body is wonderland.
It was amazing. I called Ed Cavalry and he predicted that he would pick me up at 7, beat the pants off me at table tennis, and when they were off, reenact the banned late night version of his KFC ad with me playing Dave and him playing the visibly aroused Gus. Thanks, Get This. I've seen the future, and it's awesome.
For those who love fine music, call 1-800-MARSLAND and challenge the man some called the Maelstro of the drum machine, until we insisted they stop, to play any tune you can name.
Give us The Devil Went Down to Georgia. How about It's Raining Men? Oh, boom, boom, boom. Come back to my room. What about the love theme from Get This?
Your body is a wonderland.
For the latest bitchin' crunk, call 1-800 Gregory Fleet.
I'm really pretty like a lap dancer, lyrical romancer, down with the pantser. Charles Dance, Otto Fister coaching France.
And for older listeners with midlife issues, call Tony Martin on the Midlife Crisis Hotline.
Hello?
Yes, who's that?
It's Dave.
Dave, are you all right? Yes, what?
I'm thinking of buying a Porsche.
Oh, come on, it can't be that bad.
I'm mostly bald. But I've got a ponytail.
Oh, Dave, think about this.
I'm sleeping with my daughter's best friend.
And how's that going?
Please, I need help.
Of course, sorry. Go on, Dave.
We're going base jumping.
Oh, dear.
I nearly took some ecstasy.
Oh, no.
I've taken up electric guitar.
Oh.
And I fancy myself the next George Benson.
Oh, is there an airing?
Of course there is. Oh. You know there is.
The future of telecommunications is here at Get This. Your every waking need catered for in the blink of an eye. Because on the information superhighway, we're carpooling with genius, pulling over for innovation and giving affordability and convenience a lift, and then all bunching up a bit so that good old-fashioned know-how can squeeze in with his friends' gumption and elbow grease. It's the future, and it's just one touch away.
You've reached the future. We're not here right now. I'll just put you on hold.
Your body is a wonderland. Use my hands. Your body is a wonderland.
There you go. That's what the future sounds like, people. Wasn't that the end bit of your song? The bit you
say
is the
best bit. That's the best bit. That's the best bit of my body is the one. Hey, that's the best bit.
Does it sound any different from the first bit?
No, it does. I get into my stride, and I think I really start to work it there. You can tell I'm really feeling it.
Wow. Tony Wilson is so impressed.
The base jumping joke, Tony. That's the best joke you've made on this show.
Base jumping joke?
We're thinking about...
I don't even know what base jumping is.
So funny.
Just thought I'd reference that.
So funny.
Look, let's climb a mountain. What were you going to say, Tony?
I was going to give you my favourite part of the sketch.
What was it?
I liked it when he said, of course I have, you know I have.
There's an ear
earring.
I was thinking Harrison Ford. You know I was. Look, hey, weren't you guys, both of you, Tony and Ed, in some kind of sports event?
Oh, yeah, we played hockey.
Yes, we wore green on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday arvo.
In a game for The Hockey Show.
The Hockey Show. What's and The Hockey Show?
It's a hockey show on community TV.
Is it all not touching that one?
No. We played against Olympians, yep. Ed and myself.
Yep. But you're both hulking. Surely you'd be right there.
Well, Tony was, because we were both stationed in the defence, and I left my post.
Tony's phone's gone off. That means we have to know who it is.
Oh wow!
Who was it?
I thought I'd turn that off.
Who was it?
Oh, do you want me to check, really? No, yeah. Keep telling your story, Ed.
Anyway, so I left my post to run forward to get some glory.
Right.
But Tone stayed back.
To get some sandwiches would be my guess.
Tony was an absolute rock back there. He was, like, have you ever played before, Tone?
No. Actually, I have. One game 16 years ago.
He was
made two kids cry.
He was reading the play, jumping in there with timely tackles. It was beautiful to watch.
And texting people while
texting
he was there?
People.
Who was on your phone there?
It was my radio co-host on community radio, Sam Payne, at the Brownlow last night with me.
Calling up to sabotage this program.
I figure he's probably still at the Brownlow, I'd say, in some way. But Ed had the courage to go forward.
Yeah.
I personally felt bound, shackled by the defensive role. Ed went forward and you scored two.
Two goals.
Tonight. Won the game for us.
And have you ever played this before?
Two goals, Cavalli. No, it was my first game ever. And I scored off a penalty corner through the goalie's legs. And then I scored a first time. I didn't trap it. A first-time swipe from the edge of the area through the goalie's legs to win the game.
And, wow. And you know, one of the guys came up to me, a hockey veteran. He's got two goals. It's very clear that he's played well. Whereas one guy came up to me afterwards and said, you did a backstick trap. And backstick trap just does not have, like, the thwack of the backboards involved at all. It's just like, you did a backstick trap. The trap. I can't even say it.
So why were you doing this? Was this a celebrity hockey game?
I guess so.
I guess it was.
Yeah.
For a good cause?
Of course, Andy from another show.
The rubbish show. Crap. Wouldn't go there. Don't even mention it.
He flattened an Olympian.
An Olympian? Who was the Olympian?
Claire Mitchell-Taverner. Played a gold medal in the year 2000.
Right.
And she's going about her gold-winning ways, discharging into the forward line and then smack. And it was meant to be kind of comedy violence.
It was, yeah.
But the comedy violence got out of control when you just heard the body hit the hard court.
And then the really loud, ooh, from the crowd.
Yeah.
But see, that's somewhat impressive. Who was the pissiest celebrity on the...
Me.
Oh, okay. You hit heavily. Yes! Get this tribes again.
You know, they said, you know, here we've got these two people from something well known. Crowd goes, woo! Kitty's asking for autographs. Ed Cavalli from Get This.
A distant of time, bell. Ed.
A distant ding. Galen's brain just going off in the background. Ding, ding.
Sorry if Newcastle's wondering. That's the sound of Galen's brain.
Yeah.
How is this a Talkback Mountain topic?
Sport is what we're talking about today. The topic today, my friends, is what makes a good mini golf hole? Right. Now, because I played mini golf yesterday, and I can't get enough. It's so good.
The topic is what makes a good mini golf hole.
Yeah.
Clearly, I used to go to Gumbaya Park. Do you remember the large pheasant? It was here in Melbourne, about a 20K out of Melbourne.
How was it?
And there was a huge pheasant out the front, is how I always remember it. But the best thing about their mini golf was a swing stick.
Yeah.
A stick that would, if the putt was not timed properly, a large piece of treated pine would swing through.
And this is our phone topic. Look at Katie on the phones. She's looking more disgusted than she was when I made her do that light in the sketch. About being visibly aroused.
Very well. Now, but that's a beauty. But the other thing I love is the multi-tunnel option. When you're hitting in, and there's three different tunnels the ball could go in, and they lead to three different parts of the course.
Like a choose-your-own-adventure?
Like a choose-your-own-adventure. One of them goes directly into the hole, and the other's like, you know, throw it into the car park.
One you get eaten by sharks, like in all choose-your-own-adventure books.
I'm skeptical that this is a good topic.
No, this is a beauty. I love it when there's a too-good-to-be-true option. You know, when it's like, okay, if I can just squeeze it in between those two bricks, it'll go right into the hole. I should play conservatively and hit around the obstacles, but if I can jag it through there, it's definitely a hole-in-one.
Wow.
Because you never get it.
I also like gadgetry when that's involved.
Gadgetry?
Sometimes, for example, if you hit an area that's electrified and it pumps it out more powerfully.
I love that stuff.
Danger of electrocution. Now the topic's getting more interesting.
Because the one I went to the other day, you hit it into this thing, and then an elevator takes it up two levels.
An elevator?
That is gadgetry.
So it's like Mousetrap.
It's like Mousetrap.
That's fantastic.
And then it shoots it out. You have to walk up two flights of stairs to see where the ball went.
This is great. But have we left anything for the listeners? You haven't done all the good ones.
Oh, look, I've only played I've only played perhaps everywhere I go around the world. I try and play at least one game of mini golf.
Surface Paradise is where you should go. It's the home of mini golf.
I've played in every one.
Everywhere. Grab yourself some $5 all-you-can-eat Chinese and play some mini golf and have the full Gold Coast experience.
Do a nude bungee jump for free because it's free if you go nude on the Gold Coast, if you bungee jump nude.
And pop down to Ripley's.
Oh,
so much to do there.
Three-headed goats. All right, this is the topic. What makes a good mini golf hole? That's nothing else to it.
Call us now from anywhere in the country, assuming that you're listening to us live. 1-333-53. Have a nice day, say Bon Jovi. It's Get This around the nation. We don't even have time for the theme music. We're playing Talkback Mountain. And what is our magnificent topic today, Ed?
What makes a good mini golf hole?
I was skeptical. The phones have exploded.
Hello, Patrick.
How you going?
Oh, really good. Now tell me, what makes a good mini golf hole, brother?
As long as the ball can disappear. Yes. And reappear where you least expect it, that's an awesome hole.
Absolutely.
Wow,
right.
Tony Wilson is with us on the panel. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the tunnel option, I think, is what he's talking about there. And if you can throw in some gadgetry as well, I would even prefer that.
Hey, Patrick, your favourite place to play around Australia?
Oh, Surface Paradise.
Touché. Thank you, Patrick. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, g'day. How's it going?
Excellent, sir. Tell me what makes a good mini golf hole.
Okay, when you've got like a mogul, like a hump,
yep.
And the hole's right on the top of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you miss the hole, you're going to end up right back at the start.
Yep.
Is it that I got 10 on one of those yesterday, Dan. I got it was a par 2 and I got 10. Right?
It's the equivalent of Amen Corner at Augusta, isn't it, Ed?
You know why?
Why?
That's because you don't pay for your chicken when you go to market.
Hey. Come on, Dan. Come on.
And do you reckon he's chewing? Is that chewing you're seeing, Dan?
I haven't seen him chew once.
I have a theory.
Attractive.
I have a theory they've changed the shot at the end.
Really?
I reckon they've gone with a new take where it looks more like you're biting.
Really?
You have a close look at the 30-second version.
If I could sit through it again, I will. thank you, Dan. Hello, Craig.
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, sir. Makes good mini golf.
Well, recently on a holiday in Hawaii, my son and I played at an indoor glow-in-the-dark 3D mini golf course.
Glow-in-the-dark. So it's complete darkness?
Complete darkness. It was absolutely awesome. It was over too quickly.
That's like the blackout restaurant for sporting.
Great stuff. The Hawaiian theme with the volcanoes. It had your windmill. It had the lot.
I know where my next holiday is now.
Yeah, man. What was it called? What was it called?
Can't remember what it was called. It was just in one of the shopping centres in Waikiki.
Shopping centre. Hidden in the shopping centre. Something that good.
If only Hawaii 5-0 was still going. They'd have an episode in there, catching the crim in the glow-in-the-dark mini golf.
Except if it was Hawaii 5-0, they'd be completely baffled till 59 minutes into the hour, and then Steve McGarrett would just float some wild theory that they were down at that glow-in-the-dark centre, and then that would be the end.
That'd be absolutely right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Craig. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Oh, fantastic. Tell me, sir, what makes a good mini golf hole?
I played on one where the theme for the hole was snow skiing, and you had to hit it into a little chairlift.
Hit it into a chairlift?
Gadgetry!
Gadgetry galore! Where was this?
Where's that?
That was Queenstown, New Zealand.
Queenstown, New Zealand.
And John, was the whole the whole course? Was it all snow skiing themed, or was it just that hole?
No, there was fire engine ones, space shuttle ones, there was one where you hit it into a building where it caught fire and...
Queenstown. Of course, it is the home of extreme sports, Queenstown, and I'm not surprised at all that that's going there.
Thank you, John. That sounds fantastic. Hello, Peter.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Oh, I'm really good, sir. What makes a good mini golf hole?
Air compressors.
Okay.
And how are these deployed?
Well, the one I played in is in Oakley in Melbourne.
Yep.
And you shoot your ball into the hole. Next thing you know, it shoots right back at you, goes over your head, hits a target, bounces off various things, gets sucked in another hole and ends up somewhere else.
In Chadston, probably.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What are you...
The pinball effect.
That's amazing. Was it themed, this one? Was it like a...
It had two things. One was a lake theme, one was a mountain theme. The lake one had all the water tunnels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the mountain one just shooting up and down around the mountain, bouncing off targets.
I have never seen
it's
Ed
amazing
write...
gadgetry.
Ed's written all this down. Are you going to go to all these places?
I'm going to the Oakley one in Melbourne this afternoon.
It's great.
Is it really good, Peter?
Oh, it's a really good one.
Okay, thanks, man. How'd you go? What did you get? What was your scores? Did you make par?
Too much. Too many beers before I started.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough.
Well, I think we've covered off on mini golf today. That's fantastic stuff. Tony Wilson, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Ed.
And hello to everyone who works on your station. And also, I should mention this library of books. Obviously, there's Players. That's still in shops. That's a top read. You've got The Thirsty Flowers, Tony Wilson, and somebody else.
Julie Knobloch did the pictures.
Oh, right. So all the words are yours.
Yeah, and Australia United, which is a book about the World Cup. My adventures in Germany in June.
Fantastic. All coming to your local bookshop. Ed, that was a fantastic topic.
Thanks, bro.
I'm really sorry that I was, taking the piss.
It's a bit of a limb, the old mini golf.
Yeah.
But it's a limb, you know, chock full of people that dig it.
We got to do conspiracy theories again.
Yep.
And I think today's key phrase was, Tony?
Backstick trap.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Stato Garo. And it's all thanks to the award-winning Mercedes-Benz.
Vito.
Shocking horror, another cover-up.